This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And let's head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where our friend IA Hall of Famer Jacob Calvin-Meyer covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun, joins us now. And Jacob, O's beat the Red Sox today, spring training baseball, 12-3. But three guys got hit by pitches, two in the hand. Does it seem like, though, at least early on, they dodged a bullet?
Yeah, they got lucky. It seems like they dodged the bullet. All of those guys were taken out of the game as a precaution, and Coby Mayo was the big one, obviously, getting hit on that right wrist, which is never fun, but it seems like everybody's going to be okay. But we'll see tomorrow for sure.
What about all the other injured guys? Jacob, Jorge Mateo, he participated in the game. Gunnar Henderson ramping up. Grayson Rodriguez going to play catch for what that's worth. What's the latest on those guys?
Yeah, so Gunnar Henderson still is, you know, doing baseball activities, but hasn't taken the next step to playing in games. Hyde did say today that if he's going to be ready for opening day, he needs to get into some Grapefruit League games. There are only five of those left, and you would presume that they would want him to get in a couple. And so that looks, if I'm looking at a day, it's Friday. If he can get in the game Friday, he can play Friday and then Sunday, and then maybe that weird game they have Monday. That seems to be the cutoff, but every day we go without him playing in a game or knowing if he's going to play in a game makes it less and less likely that he's going to be ready for opening day. Onto Grayson, he's going to start playing catch tomorrow and sort of restarting his ramp-up process. There's still no timetable on when they think he'll be ready, but if you just kind of do the typical timeline of a six-week spring training plus maybe a rehab assignment, that might be what we're looking at there. And then Jorge Mateo, they keep saying that he's doubtful, but I'm having trouble. I understand Mateo's coming off of a surgery on his left elbow, but I'm having trouble squaring how Gunnar Henderson, who basically hasn't played in any games this spring, is capable of being ready for opening day, but Jorge Mateo, who just played in his first game the other day, is doubtful. I have some theories as to why, but that's where the injuries stand right now.
Wouldn't it be really risky if they are dedicated to Mateo needing, because of the timing he got hurt and how much time he missed, needing time to start the year on the IL and, you know, let him play a couple series in whatever, let him do a little extended spring training and a few games with Norfolk or whatever, then to have Gunnar on your active roster, having only played, let's say, two Grapefruit League games and an injury that seems like it could be easily aggravated, don't you run a risk there? Like, does it not make more sense to play the long game early on and make sure you've got protection at shortstop?
Oh, I think they're going to play the long game for sure. But I think they're going to play the long game by, if there's any doubt about Gunnar Henderson, he's not going to be with the team.
Right, you just put him on IL.
Right. And so, they're also, again, we started a week ago, but let's say let's say that everything remains the same, okay, which means that Jorge Mateo, who has said all spring that he's going to be healthy for opening day, let's say he's still saying that and that he feels like he's healthy and the team says that he's not, or that he's not ready, or they feel like he's not ready. And so what I mean by playing the long game with Mateo is that if you put him on the opening day roster and Gunnar Henderson isn't, and it takes Gunnar exactly 10 days to get healthy, that's 9 games.
Right.
He comes back, who goes off the roster? And right now, if nobody else gets hurt, there isn't an answer to that question. And the potential answer to that question is Jorge Mateo, and he doesn't have any options, and you will lose him. And they don't want to lose him. So that is a big chunk in this. In my view, that is the only way that I can logically square everything I'm being told by the team.
We're talking with Jacob Calvin-Meyer. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Jacob, I know that we get ourselves tied up in knots or turned to pretzels looking at spring training stats, and we're supposed to believe that it's guys getting in work and it's not going to matter. But with all that said, are you concerned at all with Sir Anthony Dominguez, who is sporting a 23.14 ERA? He's given up 4 home runs this spring. His whip is over 4.
Yeah, you can't not be concerned about that. I think I wasn't concerned until his most recent outing, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it is spring training. This is a veteran who has been a pretty solid reliever for a long time. And so if a guy has a couple of bad outings early in spring, it's like whatever. But when it becomes it basically every outing and there's a week until the season begins, the bullpen as it is constituted right now really isn't a strength to begin with. And on top of that, Felix isn't going to go back to that days, and you don't have Kittredge.
Right.
So your option as a right-handed closer behind Felix, if there's a righty pocket and Felix isn't available, it's almost certainly Dominguez. And that's just not a good situation to be in, because it could be the second day of the season, Felix is down, and there's a righty pocket in the ninth, Cano's already pitched, and you've got to decide between Brian Baker and Sir Anthony Dominguez for the save. Like, that's the situation they're barreling towards right now. But Dominguez has no options, so they just got to work through it.
Let's go to the other side of it. Someone who's performed really well during spring training is Sugano, and you put out a piece for the Baltimore Sun recently. What if he's better than expected? Has he exceeded expectations for you?
Yeah, for me, probably not, but for others, maybe. Like, I think a lot of these players that come over from Japan are probably perpetually underrated, because the question mark of, oh, can they do it here? Can they do it in the big leagues? Most of that's just BS. Like, that league over there is legit. All of those guys, most of those guys are great players. And if you are able to, it's not anybody that comes over here, but if you're able to dominate the MPB, you're likely going to be able to have success here. The level to which he's able to have success is what I'm really looking at, because it could change the complexion of what the rotation looks like if he's able to be right. He probably profiled as a number 4 starter when they signed him, if you look at the money. But if he's able to be something closer to like a number 2 starter, that really does change the way all of this looks. An important thing to track with him is the innings and how often they're going to throw him and the rest in between. That's something that they're going to have to manage throughout the season. Spring training, the competition that he's faced hasn't been excellent. But listen, we all have eyes. When you watch him pitch, well, I guess a lot of fans haven't seen him because Masson doesn't broadcast a lot of these games. But the command is excellent, and you have a 6-pitch mix, and he really knows how to pitch. So it's been fun to watch.
Suarez has looked really good. They continue to build Suarez out. The skipper was on record saying that's our 6, and Povich is our 7, and then I know he kind of
hedged,
tap-danced around that. But we've now seen how this organization works for a while. I personally don't think they're building Suarez up to then make him a 6th-7th inning bridge guy or a replacement for what Dominguez was supposed to be before Kittredge got hurt. I think he's one of their starting pitchers come hell or high water now. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going back and forth on this, and I can't. Yesterday I was saying that Povich would be the number 5 and that Suarez would be in the bullpen, and then today I'm maybe sort of more in your camp. My Like, what I thought at the beginning of camp was that Suarez was the definite six, and that if somebody got hurt, it would be him. The thing that's making me question that is, firstly, Povich has looked good. They probably would like a lefty in that rotation. And the bullpen just looks a lot better if Suarez is in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand even in that scenario, he's going to be a long man or a two-inning guy. But let me go back to what I said earlier and pose this hypothetical. Ninth inning, righty pocket, Felix can't pitch, and their options are Dominguez, Baker, and let's add in Albert Suarez. Who would you guys pick for that ninth inning?
Albert Suarez,
but he's probably would have thrown 97 pitches the day before.
Yeah. So I think the challenge is, are they willing to make their entire pitching staff better, or are they just hell bent on Suarez being the five? And another thing to consider is, are they going to go out and acquire somebody in a cash considerations trade at the end of camp like they did in 23 to round out this bullpen? Because as of right now, it kind of seems like if Suarez is that five, the number five starter, that they don't exactly have an eighth guy for the bullpen.
And I brought this up early in the show. I'm not missing anything here. Like, you know, Thad Ward and these dudes they've talked up at times. Like, I guess Bowman's been okay. But there's nobody breaking through here like we've seen people in the past, correct? Like, seems to me people who were being talked up very early in camp have quickly fallen by the wayside. Luis Gonzalez, et cetera.
Yeah, that Rodolfo Martinez is not walking through that door. No, the Matt Bowman pitched well, and that's not a surprise. He pitched okay for them late last season, and he's a non-roster guy. He doesn't have options. He probably has an opt-out at the end of camp.
Yeah.
And so he would be the only one, but you're right. The rest of these guys, Colin Selby, who looked good for them last year, Luis Gonzalez, there aren't really, you know, Roansy Contreras was one that I was like, hey, he could be the long man, but he hasn't pitched well this spring, so.
Jacob Calvin Meyer covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. Jacob, always great, man. Enjoy the warmth, and thank you as always for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
you
guys.
Hall of Famer, you?
Yes.
It's true.
Hall of Fame's good.
I just speak facts.
Yeah, yes. You don't have anything to do with that fact, but you speak it.
I knew what I was doing.
You were trying to keep him out.
Yes, it's good. No, I was trying to add some drama.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good content. Now every time you bring him on, you can say two of us voted for you and one didn't.
Yep. Hey, coming up next, Purple Rain in the forecast. Ravens have a new backup quarterback. Our thoughts on that. And DeAndre Hopkins, interesting words about the wide receiver room. That's next here on The Fan.